This episode of the Topsoil Podcast is brought to you by Continuum Ag and Stout Seeds. Continuum Ag is a soil health intelligence company helping farmers globally monetize and improve their soil health.
Stout Seed is an Iowa-based seed distributor that handles cover crops and forage seeds and distributes throughout the Midwest.
Well, Dave, we've been working on a bunch of business stuff, so we don't have quite enough of a window to record too long of a podcast. So we're going to really dig deep, just jump right in and get rolling with some stuff. But to tee this up, I don't know if I've told you this, but I've talked with multiple times where I'll talk about Dave Stamp as one of the best deal makers and business guys that I've met, but not the best one that I've ever met. Because in 2015, I met Donald Trump. And I don't know, Dave. You're good, but I don't know if you know the deal. But Dave, introduce yourself and kind of, because you got a background in all kinds of different ag stuff here. Explain right. That a little bit. Who is Dave Stamp?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably my wife wonders what that is. But I've been, just an Iowa State grad back in the late 70s. Been involved about a third of my career in the livestock side. Mm-hmm. That was feed, animal health, nutrition. Worked with Pioneer on the forage side and then in the seed sales. And then after that, I moved on and was instrumental in helping form Channel Seed Company. And actually ran four different of the different brands that they had out of five and helped pull that together. And then was part of integrating that into Monsanto when it was sold. Mm-hmm. Left that and then started with up E4 Crop Intelligence, had clients that were large land investors to a lot of farmers. And then we actually had some large ag retail distributors that we did programming for. Mm-hmm. And then currently I do business development east of the Rockies for a company called Wilbur Ellis. So I've worked with a lot of different growers, livestock people, helping do startups, and also to be on different boards, all kinds of things. We're starting Ignite Pathways in Woodbine, Iowa, which is a new way for education. We're starting tech school for kids coming out where they'll actually have their degree graduating high school, plus another interest, whether it's heating and plumbing and HVAC or welding or construction. So involved in just a wide variety, but my passion is really helping the next generation do better and figure out how to be entrepreneurial and how to build wealth.
Helping young whippersnappers like me trying to figure out how the heck do we do this, all this business stuff. But that, like you were laying out there, I mean, just going through your pedigree in a short bit of time there, like, I mean, you've seen some big deals and lots of different stuff here and at all kinds of levels, from just getting it going all the way to selling and for hundreds of millions of dollars and stuff here too. Right. So really being able to see a lot of different stuff, and that's where I've of course been doing strategy here on Continuo Mag and all that. But wanted to, been thinking about getting you on, and we needed to sit down and record some stuff, because you're tied in directly to the very beginning that when Continuum Ag started, it was you and me sitting at a boardroom table dreaming up, what at that point I was calling Hora Precision Technologies, which would have been the worst name ever. Right. And Continuum Ag is much, much better. But maybe what's your thought, or how do you recollect when we were talking about that early on?
That's great, because I really think a lot of Mitchell, but what was interesting, so Mitchell actually met at Iowa State. Yeah. They had a career program. Yeah. And we were out looking for some really young go-getters, and when I was part of E4 Crop Intelligence, so we interviewed a bunch, and Mitchell was one that we selected. Yeah. And could tell early on he was not like a lot of interns that were just looking for a job. Yeah. He literally had a lot of big goals and things, aspirations. So one of the things during that first year, I encouraged him to actually look at getting an internship with another consulting company. Mm-hmm. The next year. So we talked a lot about that for his career development.
Yeah.
And as you did that, then one of the things we talked about, well, really, you're very entrepreneurial. Yeah. What about starting up your own business? So we started actually when you were a sophomore. Maybe it was freshman year.
Yeah, freshman
actually
summer.
Was the plan was yeah. to while you're in college, actually start up your own business.
Yeah.
And then it was like, how do we come up with a name?
Yeah.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, here's a young man. If he's going to be in it a long time,
yeah.
that's going to be a continuous operation.
Yeah.
And pretty soon we came up with Continue Mag
yeah.
as a name.
And, yeah. and part of it for, on my version of the story and kind of – I really haven't told – I don't tell the story and the name and the logo and stuff as
yeah.
good as what I should in our marketing and our branding. I should use it better because it really fits well and there's a great story behind it. And from my recollection of as we were kind of wordsmithing and
right.
playing with stuff, Hora is Czech for mountain peak, and
mm-hmm.
an ag, you always want to continue to do better
right.
and stuff
right.
like you're saying. It's this can be an ongoing, continual journey. When we were working on this, I was 19.
Right. right.
Maybe just turned 20. I turned 20 that summer.
I think that's right. Right, yeah.
That'd be right. So I turned 20 that summer. And was originally thinking, you know, Hora, but as we were working through it, it's no, this needs to be long term and go beyond just me.
Yeah.
And being tied to the family name is good, but it can be potentially limiting
mm-hmm.
for a company. And at that point, we weren't going to be a tech company. It was just
right.
going to be agronomy consulting and just basic and a relatively small company
mm-hmm.
was the plan.
Right.
Never having all this stuff and being worldwide like we are today.
Right. right.
But with Hora being mountain peak area, you know, being checked for mountain and mountain peak, continuing to reach that mountain peak, and then we were wordsmithing and Googling, and continuum came up that,
right.
you know, a continuum is a sequence of events that are seemingly all the same, but it's actually made of components that are distinct,
mm-hmm.
which is agriculture, which is
right.
the technology and everything that's intertwined today. How have you seen that specificity change throughout your career with technology, with all this innovation that we're getting to that minute science where every plant is unique and every
right.
farm is unique and all this stuff. What's your hot take on how that's changed in your career?
Well, you know, that's interesting. So, you know, there's been kind of milestones,
yeah.
you know, early in my career in the livestock. One of the game changers was herd health programs. You know, they were non-existent. It was always treating the problem, for example. So then vaccines started coming out, you know, prevention came out. And that was a really game changer, which allowed us to go from pasture raising hogs to a lot of confinement.
Yeah.
And so that was a shift and a game shift. But what's interesting about ag that allows it to adopt to a lot of these new technologies is that a lot of times what we have is we have a continuum of families in farming
mm.
and they're always, the next generation is always looking for something better
yes.
and something different, because in order for them to take over leadership of the farm and for grandpa or dad to give up the reins, it usually is something that's new or different, whether it's going from a lot of tillage to no tillage or minimum tillage.
Mm-hmm.
Those are opportunities for the next generation to come in and jump in. So,
well, and it's connecting with that consumer, I think, now too. Connecting
right.
with the consumer using technology, but it's also, you got to be more profitable too. If you're going to have that next generation come in, they go take a job in town and make nice six figures.
Right.
Or if they're going to come back to the operation,
right.
they're still going to want to go and have that, you know, go to the lake or
right.
take a vacation or do this thing that people with jobs get to do, which is retire.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
You know, on the farm, that wasn't a thing.
No, no.
Now it's becoming like, oh, you got to have a little bit of balance within. I think that's probably a transition, at least that I see within our customer
right.
base and stuff. But how do you think, you know, people are not, I think a lot of people, I suppose, that you're working with and stuff now, they don't realize that until probably too late a lot of times.
Well, that's, you know, it's really interesting. And you talk whether that's transition planning or business planning. And
yeah.
and one of the things that Mitchell and I spent the last day on is working on the business.
Yeah.
I would say the challenge in the field that we work in, more than even any other business, is there's so many tasks and activities to do
yeah.
that you get so wrapped up in doing the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, when I talk to businesses around ag, even internally with what I do or with individuals, is to work on the business versus in the business is something that is actually very unique, that a lot of people really might have goals and things they want to accomplish, but they spend very little time thinking about how to move that forward. And so, you know.
And that's something that I've really had to work on. And to your point, I mean, it's been great to spend some time here working on the business, because a lot of times I'm still very in the business. We're a small company, like, and it takes me being in the business, but I've got so many different things going on that I do need to be on the business a little bit more. But one of the things that, to kind of pivot and stuff there, you were just talking about, okay, so some of those goals and stuff like that. And it's one of the things that we you and I haven't talked about here yet, but you've got a really unique goal setting system that you and your wife use that that I've asked you about, and I need to sit down and spend some more time, and Tempest and I need to spend some more time and dig into that. But explain that goal setting process, stuff that you've kind of used, and where did that come from? Did somebody teach you that? And explain it a little bit more, because I'm talking about it arbitrarily, that it's setting a goal and what it looks like, and a not a time frame, but it's a what's it going to cost, and what it, what are we going to get from it? How does that get, remind me? How is it? How
you know, it's kind of interesting. So usually, necessity is the mother of invention, they say, right? So you know, I've had a lot of success in my career, but I probably had a lot more failures in my career. You know. And as they say, the best way to succeed is fail often and fail fast.
Sure.
But you still got to know what you're failing for, right? And what you're succeeding for. So all I can say is I went through, I was a young man like yourself, and maybe this is why I'm passionate with youth. But I went through the 80s getting out of college, and I couldn't wait to dive in and have my own business.
Yeah.
And back in the in 85 and 86, close to 75% of my customer base in the business I had was a feed and seed business.
Yeah.
Took bankruptcy on me and left me with a bill.
Yeah.
And here I am sitting in major debt, have three other partners, and one of them takes bankruptcy. And and so here it's like everybody wanted to stick me with the whole bill. But the bank let me for my portion of it. But what my wife and I were sitting down at the bottom of our career, I would say, and you know, here we are, negative net worth, and we say, you know, what are we going to do? And we got to figure out a way. We're not going to take bankruptcy. We're going to work our way through it. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to us, because we really became better at understanding numbers and finances and the things that probably would have helped me stay out of debt. But we happened to read a book about a young individual that wrote out goals of 100 things they want to do, just wishes. And they put a date and a time frame on, and they put how much it would cost to achieve it. And once they put them down, they started thinking about it. They didn't look about it every day, but they'd look at it every now and then.
Yeah.
And they ended up accomplishing by the time they were 30, and they were things that were way out there. So my wife and I wrote down 100 things apiece, just started putting lists down.
Yep.
Of the things that were on that list, not one of them we could afford.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
at that point in the 80s, yeah.
So, you know, they're all wishes, right? Yeah, they were big dreams, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty hard to do when you know you got negative net worth, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we started putting them down, and then my wife and I compared them. And then we argued why all those should come off of my list and off of her list, because they didn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
And one of them was, for example, was to own a plane and to go flying, you know, and have my pilot's license.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last thing you do when you got a net worth and you're 30, right?
Yeah.
And things like I grew up on a diversified farm. I wanted to own a nice cow herd, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you don't go out and buy cows when you don't even own a piece of dirt, right? Yeah. So that we did a whole bunch of those things. And what we did is we estimated how much it would cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put a date on it.
Yeah.
Now, what if I told you we'd look at it once a year, and within 10 years, not 10 years, within 15 years, over 90 out of those 100 we accomplished.
Wow.
We narrowed it down to a combined list. And what if I told you it happened, what it cost was almost exactly what we put down, and the date we put down was almost exactly the date.
Wow.
Now, that taught me that really our mind works, because we get so wrapped up in working in the business and not working on it, that really the good Lord gifts us mm-hmm. with opportunities. Mm-hmm. Or what happens is we find that we're boxed in. And what I've found in my career that I'd take the limits off and get outside the box in my thinking mm-hmm. and in my relationships and who I worked with or even the companies I worked for mm-hmm. to get me the opportunity to achieve those goals.
Well, how did you guys go about it? So you wrote them all down, but then you only looked at them once a year, or did you have them put in somewhere, like, logistics wise? How'd you do it?
Yeah, really, really interesting. So we would do a deep review.
You didn't have it on your iPad back.
No, it's like. But here's the thing: what happened is when I put them on the list, and there was what we'd do is we'd sit down and think about it and dream, and then we did what we called dream building. So if I wanted to look at cow herds. For example, I'd go out even when I couldn't afford one cow. I was going, maybe I'd go to the sale barn, or I would go and I can remember when we won a sales trip to Hawaii. So we went and looked at the big ranch that they had, the King Ranch, and then we went down to King Ranch down in Texas, and we didn't own a cow.
Yeah.
but then what if I said at one time I run a missile base in Kansas and I had 400 cows? That was pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So then, yeah, so thinking through and basically being able to kind of visualize and just being near other people that had that goal already accomplished, essentially.
Right.
Now, you didn't fly the plane down here today, but I've rode in your plane before.
Right.
But you sold your portion of that offer. You still have...
No, I do. That me and two other individuals have a nice Cessna 182. Yeah. We built a new hangar for it, and it's right there at the Woodbine International Airport.
The Woodbine International Airport, yeah. Yeah, because... so for context, Woodbine, Iowa is, 1,500 people, 2,000 people, something like that?
Correct.
It's not a bad little town.
No. Yeah.
Out in western Iowa. And that's where I went and spent my freshman internship out there working for E4. And my portion of that story was, it was the freshman internship. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I'd just gotten up to Iowa State a couple weeks before, basically. And I had met with all the big companies, you know, because those were the logos that I knew and the companies that I knew. I was a little freshman. I didn't know what I was doing. And I had no idea what I wanted to do that summer or in a career or at Iowa State. I had no idea. I'd never really thought about it. There was zero plan. And I remember I'd talked with all these big companies or whatever, and then walking out, you guys were right by the door.
Right, we were.
Yep. You were right by the door, and you had a little trifold poster that you'd kind of done a little glue stick job on, I think, or somebody had.
It was pretty high class.
It wasn't super fancy like Deere and all these other guys, but it said Precision Ag on it. And I walk up to you and I go, well, hey, I'm interested in Precision Ag.
Right.
And that's what caught me. That one little Precision Ag piece, that was what drew me over there.
Because it was pretty early on. You know,
that was really early into the Precision Ag. Right. But in terms of like, okay, Precision Ag, and that's why I went to Iowa State knowing that I wanted to get into that. I didn't know what that looked like. Mm-hmm. But then at E4, I found out, okay, well, it's consulting and agronomy and technology, data, systems. It still wasn't necessarily go build Continuum Ag with our topsoil software and what we do today. That was never part of it that early on. But just interesting to see how that opportunity can lead to the next things. And that's really been the story of all of my career here so far is you say yes and you never know what it is going to lead to. And going and seeing these guys with their glue sticked on trifold board and head out to Woodbine it happened.
It's not what you have, it's what you want, right? You know, so, you got to start out somewhere. But one of the things was always having passion for doing something. And, you know, always loved the quote out of Moneyball, right? And it's a great business movie. I watch it over and over again. But... you know, one of the dreams, and I think you take this on, is I not only want to, change the game, right, and make it different, you know. I'm trying to think the quote. I not only want to win the game, but I want to change the game, right? So, anyway, I mean, I think about that, and, the opportunity is limited. is limitless when you can go in and just like what you've done here at Continuum Ag, you know, think of the impact that you have and how you've made a statement on how many people are thinking about soil health today.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about soil health and regenerative ag and how that can impact and be profitable.
Yeah.
Where they never thought about that even before. Well, so you changed the game a lot there.
It just seems to be, it is the future, and everything that we've done, it's just been to continue to solve the next problem in the chain, the next bigger problem, the next phase up.
Yeah.
And that led to technology and the big companies that we work with and where we're looking at the future and making global impact, not just working with family farms in Southeast Iowa, but helping even beyond. But, we needed to block a couple hours here, and we've been working on stuff and are running short on time. But one of my favorite Dave Stamp quote is what I've quoted you on before, which is the quote of, in business, the key is you got to get the first check.
Right.
Tell that story, and where did that come from? Because that was one of the things I learned from you, and it's been, that is so true, that you can chase and chase and chase,
right,
but you got to get to the first check.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is, I don't care whether it's a dollar or $100,000, there's something magical about when somebody writes you a check or they actually exchange money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a little or a lot, mm-hmm. but I've spent so much time in my career having great conversations or something new, whether it's a new technology or whatever it is, you know, in a relationship. But until money exchanges hands, mm-hmm. you really don't have a business. Yeah. You have a wish, you know, you have a relationship, but really you don't have a business relationship. Yeah. And I found that out in my career, and that's something I spent, you know, it sounds so simple, but I spent 30, 40 years to figure that out. and the sooner I get to the point where I have enough trust, where there's a dollar exchange, then I have something that I can build on.
Mm-hmm.
And so what am I doing that I'm not getting to where there's a money exchange or value exchange that people see value on both sides? But
I think that's key within like these sustainability initiative, carbon programs, all this kind of stuff. The key is get something built far enough where you can get the first check.
Right.
Even if it's not perfect, you're going to iterate and stuff and figure it out from there, but it's get to the first check. And I think that's just been so crucial with all of our different farmers and companies and stuff that we work with, where it's like, all right, in order to really be bought in, it takes not just talking about it and negotiating and having contract stuff and just having meetings and just talk, but actually create action, which typically means write a check and do something.
Right.
So, versus some of our other, the other inverse of that too, as, looking at, you know, talking about investment money and stuff like that, where a lot of other startup companies never get to the first check besides investor checks.
Right.
But to have a real business and to create real value, you got to get to the first check.
Well, and along with that, I don't mean a first check to be the first check and the last check, so I took something, right? Well, what I want to do is I really try to move things from a transactional to a contractual. So really what I want to do is I want to help the people I'm involved in.
Yeah.
I really want to be deep in that relationship. And so to do that, it's going to take a lot of money exchange and it's going to take a lot of value exchange. But the sooner I can get a money exchange, the more likely I have the opportunity to be in business continually with them for a long time. So really my goal is that once that happens and there's value being exchanged, then really I can work on their behalf.
Well, and it's that ongoing value that if there's going to be ongoing checks being written and business transactions occurring, there's got to be value both ways, like what you're getting at. And if both parties aren't going to see value, that transaction back and forth isn't going to continue to happen.
No. And whether it's a dollar or multiple dollars, it doesn't matter.
But however many zeros on the back,
exactly. Yeah.
Hopefully, lots of zeros.
Yeah, exactly. For everybody.
Yeah. Well, this like I said, we'll have to find another time we can dig deeper and stuff. But just wanted to at least, you know, hit record, have a quick kind of chat to go through some of the high level things here that I've learned from you. It's been awesome to be working together. I've learned a ton. and appreciate all the time
right.
where we haven't had a lot of checks go between us here, Dave. but hoping, I think there will be, and just a lot of opportunities in this space and more things that need to be built and got to have more doers and more people that know how to get it done and be visionary and go from vision to get it done too. So we've got our work cut out for us, but we'll be continuing to rock and roll here. So, but anyway, thanks for taking some time here to do this, even though it was quick. And we'll do it again here sometime.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for listening in to today's episode of the Topsoil Podcast. If you want to learn more about Continuum Ag, you can find us at continuum.ag.
If you like this episode, please give us a review or share us with your friends. And if you would like more information on Stout Seed, find us at stoutseed.com or look me up on social media at Seed Junkie.
We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.